Chicago O'Hare security scandal. How can this still be happening? I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome into this Aero News special feature, and thanks for downloading us today. My guest is Dave Savini, who is an investigative reporter for CBS 2 News in Chicago. That's WBBM-TV. And Dave has had a series going on called Fly at Your Own Risk on that TV station. Dave, thanks for joining us today.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here, Paul.
What's going on at O'Hare? You've had, an eight-part series now?
It's about eight parts now, and it's a series we kicked off last October. We aired our first story in November of 2006. Fly at Your Own Risk was a series that started on a tip by a flight attendant who risked her career by going and blowing the whistle and going on camera with us about a real problem. And the problem that she had uncovered was there was a bomb threat aboard her plane. And she was told that the plane had been swept for explosives. It was brought in for a landing, and it had been swept by police dogs, et cetera, and it had not. And the pilot was also informed of this, and they felt betrayed. They wanted to get that plane out on time on the next flight. And what they used was the cleaning crew, the contracted cleaning crew to sweep the plane for bombs or explosives or any kind of weapons. This was after a note was found on the plane that said, "We're going to blast this plane out of the sky." And the cleaning crew is, you know, minimally paid workers here, many on temporary visas, that we found worked for a company that was, that's another part of the investigation, but the company they worked for wasn't doing really the proper checks on these people, and they weren't securing their ID badges, their CITA badges,
right,
that let them in the airport. The CITA badges were missing at this one company in Chicago, and those are the swipe cards that let the employees through a special gate at O'Hare International Airport. And there's a back gate that is used every day by thousands of employees, pilots, flight attendants, mechanics, contractors like cleaning crews, and the people that push the wheelchairs, and the people that deliver the food to the planes. You know, anybody who's a contractor, if they're putting drywall up, and they're not checked. Their cars aren't checked. They're not, you know, they don't go through security screening. They just hand the badge over. The badge is swiped through a little card, you know, swiper, and off they go. And they're in the airport, and that's it.
All right. Now, somebody who thinks that this whole Homeland Security thing has been dramatically overblown would say, to play devil's advocate here for a moment, that these people at least have a documented reasonable reason to be on the property. But what you guys found out was that thousands of these badges have never been returned by people who quit or were fired and are just out there floating somewhere.
We found 3,807 of these badges are missing or weren't turned in. And the problem is they weren't being deactivated. And if you have somebody's badge that you get a hold of and you swipe your way through, you just hand it over to somebody and you look sort of similar to the person, they don't ask for your driver's license to back it up. They just ask for the badge. You're in. I mean, you can even have somebody hidden in the trunk of your car, and you could take them in because they don't check the trunks, and you can have even a badge that someone doesn't even look like you, and you pin it on yourself once you're in, and you walk around with it. You're allowed into secure areas, and you know, that's the problem. And you know, Paul, I understand what people that say, you know, hey, you know, let's not give the bad guys any ideas here. Okay?
Right.
But this is a problem that's been going on now for 8 months at O'Hare International Airport, and nothing has been done to fix it. We've been reporting on it, and, you know, we just had a follow-up last month and last week where, you know, we found 47 more badges missing, and, you know, we thought these checks were occurring, and they weren't.
Well, now, let me ask you specifically about the Mesa Airlines situation, because there was an employee. Now, was she a flight attendant or a gate person, Marsha Pinkston?
Marsha Pinkston was the second whistleblower to come forward to us. She came forward in February or March after we did another part of the investigation. And she was a flight attendant. She had just started working for Mesa Airlines for a couple of weeks. I think she was hired in January, flew some flights in late January. They put her on allegedly because, you know, they haven't had their day in court. They have been fined $47,000 because of our findings. Mm-hmm. They found 47 more badges in addition to hers that were missing, belonging to Mesa employees. But they put her on flights, according to her, without giving her a code. You know, once you have your badge and you're a flight attendant or a pilot, then you also need an airline access code if you want to go down a ramp, go board the plane or get to the, you know, go to the secure areas, the domicile for the workers. Well, you got to punch in a code, and they put her on flights before she had a code, and they told her to piggyback. She says, this is what they told me to do. You know, we don't have your code yet. Just piggyback. There's
a backlog. So in other words, when somebody ahead of you opens the door, just follow them through before it shuts.
Follow them through before it shuts. And you know what? We saw that happening routinely at the airport, not just at Mesa, but at other places. You know, I mean, other ramps. We have surveillance footage, and we've shown some of it. They just walk through. You know, one person opens it, and, you know, I mean, force of habit. I mean, you know, why go through and, you know, four people are walking to the door at once. Why should I stop and punch in my code? You know, mm-hmm. It's already open. But in her case, she got locked in one night because she didn't have a code. And there was no one to piggyback off of. And she raised a big stink about it, and they fired her. And then she came to us. We put her story on the news, and 2 months went by, and her badge had not been deactivated. She was fired. She offered to turn her badge in. They said, you know, they gave it back to her, according to her. And she just threw it away when she got home. But she threw it away, but had she kept it, it was still active for like 2 months. I mean, that's just a case in point where if that fell into the wrong hands, someone could have had access to the airport. Fly at Your Own Risk is really a series about missing ID badges and using contracted workers to do sensitive jobs like check for bombs and weapons. And then, you know, you're only as good in security as your weakest link. Mm-hmm. If you have two-hour lines to get through security and you're taking hair gel and shampoo away from people, and that's what you need to do, then fine. But don't do 100% screening at the front gate and not check anybody at the back gate. I mean, it doesn't make any sense.
We're talking with Dave Savini, who is an investigative reporter for Chicago's CBS2 Television, WBBM-TV. And we'll be back to talk a little bit more in just a moment to wrap this up. I'm Paul Platt. You're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and known ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Welcome back to this Aero News special feature. I'm Paul Platt. My guest is Dave Savini, who is a reporter for CBS2 Television in Chicago. That's WBBM News. Dave, again, thanks for taking a few minutes out for our listeners today. You gave us a pretty good background on the Fly at Your Own Risk series that you've been running on your local TV station in Chicago. The reason I'm so interested in Marsha Pinkston's story is, here is somebody who Mesa Airlines had to know was complaining about security to begin with. They let her go, don't get her badge back. That's almost like, you know, lining mm-hmm. up a perfect storm for somebody to come down and find your security problems.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, even if let's say she's disgruntled, let's say you fire somebody. I mean, Wouldn't you want to get their badge back? Wouldn't you want to take away their access? You know, if you fired somebody, let's say you fired them for a really terrible thing. Why would you want them to still have access to your, you know, your business?
Well, you know, in a lot of places in the business world, if they called you down to the boss's office for that last chat, they would have the IT department, you know, taking out your email, all your passwords, deactivating your door card, all that stuff while you were in that office before you even left the building. I mean, this seems remarkable to me.
And this all happened on top of the fact that we had done an expose, you know, in Chicago on all the missing badges. And now hers goes missing and no one collects it. And not only was it her, there were 46 other people in addition to her at Mesa that they didn't collect the badges from. With everything that we reported and the crackdown that was supposedly going on because of our investigation by the Chicago Department of Aviation, they didn't find the 47 badges until we told them to look. Again, you know, they promised they were going to find all these problems after we discovered their own database showed, you know, 3,700 missing badges. And lo and behold, there's more missing badges. Just how many are out there? We have no idea. Paul, because if we should have found out about the Mesa badges when we asked for the database originally, okay, they should have been in there. Why weren't they in there? No one will talk to us on camera anymore. No one will do interviews with us. The Chicago Department of Aviation won't speak to us. The TSA won't speak to us. We're being denied the right to ask questions. As a matter of being, you know, we're the First Amendment. I mean, let's ask, we're the freedom of the press. Where did that go? The TSA vowed to investigate Marsha Pinkston's case. We broadcast her story in early May or in May of this year. I did another report 1 month later in June, just last week, that said they still had not gone out to interview Marsha Pinkston, the TSA. How do you do an investigation and not interview the person with the information? She has documented proof of what went on with piggybacking and with code sharing. And you know, why wouldn't you, you know?
Well, let me ask you something about what this means in the overall picture, because I think passengers on airliners are very fed up with, I'm sorry, you have 3.7 ounces of shampoo. And, you know, I think we're probably to the point now where the odds of somebody attacking that end of the security chain, where they're going to have to go through the metal detectors and all that, is probably greatly reduced from what it was a few years ago. But now we look back at this past weekend when we had two car bombs in London and another that actually drove through the front doors of the terminal building at the Glasgow Scotland Airport. And all of a sudden, the idea of back gates being accessible to somebody who had a plan like that looks a lot more scary.
A lot more scary. I mean, think about that. They're not checking the cars that go in the back gate. So think of the damage they could have done getting out to a runway. I mean, this is what I'm trying to say, is that why doesn't anyone want to listen? You know, why don't they want to screen everybody that goes in the airport? And what I'm being told from insiders is convenience. This is a convenience to the airlines to let their workers come in so they can get to work, get to their flights on time. And if you set up a checkpoint at that back gate, and a lot of airports have them, okay? As a matter of fact, the reporter in Buffalo went out and did the same investigation after I did and found 38 missing badges at the Buffalo, the Niagara, whatever it's called, airport over there, that regional airport. Okay, that's 38 badges at one airport. We're talking 3,800 at O'Hare that are missing,
right,
on top of the fact that they're not searching the employees who come in. Okay. How can you let someone in a back gate like that without checking them? They're going to have access to a plane. You don't wand them. You don't look in their trunk. I mean, we need to start doing that. Orlando's doing it now after they had an employee bring guns on and drugs on earlier this year using a CIDA badge. At JFK, the plot to blow up the airport with the guy that was a former airport worker, said he had intimate knowledge of the airport. Okay, the airport threats by airport employees are very real. This is what all the terrorism experts are telling me. And why it's not 100% at every airport across the country is unbeknownst to me.
Well, Dave, we may try to touch base with you in the future as this rolls out, because it doesn't look like it's showing any signs of wrapping up soon. And just by the way, for the record, for my friends in Buffalo, that's Buffalo Niagara Falls International Airport.
Niagara International, yeah. Okay.
It's not a regional.
Now, okay, and you know, if people have, and we take tips from all across the country, it's cbs2chicago.com, but my email is dv, D as in Dave, V as in Vincent, Savini, S-A-V-I-N-I, at cbs.com. They can also find me at cbs2chicago.com, and they can see all the fly-at-your-own-risk stories on cbs2chicago.com. So if they're interested in checking it out, you know, we have our own little web page up there for the two investigators. That's my unit. Mm-hmm. And we look into everything, not just aviation. We look into all kinds of corruption and all kinds of other problems across the board.
All right. Well, listen, Dave, we will link folks to the two investigators page then. And we really appreciate you taking a few minutes out. I know you have to run to a meeting, but thanks for joining us for this feature today.
Thank you.
You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Look for us on the web at www.aero-news.net. We'll be off on Wednesday for the U.S. Independence Day holiday, then back on Thursday with something very different. A look at FAA privatization from the guy credited with coining the very term. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.